SCP-8984, Yasod, Two-Way Street. Space is big. I'm sure you've heard that numerous times before, but it's really hard to understate how big it is. We'll never come close to discovering the tiniest fraction of everything that's out there, and neither will the SCP Foundation. SCP-8984 is another thing that's just been sitting there out in outer space, hundreds of times the size of Earth, and could have easily sat there for millions and millions of years without bothering anything. Unfortunately for the Foundation, they had to discover it. Let's take a look. SCP-8984 is a large volume of anomalously dense dark matter, located at the edge of the Rho Ophiuchi cloud complex, approximately 456 light-years from our solar system. The density of the matter is comparable to solid baryonic matter, approximately 10 septillion times greater than the density of dark matter in any other context. So yeah, it's pretty dense. Based on gravitational microlensing evidence from Foundation Space Telescope Third Eye, the dark matter forms a contiguous shape, that of a long, twisted, oblique cone. It is approximately 3 million kilometers in length, with a maximum radius of approximately 500,000 kilometers. Spectroscopic measurements indicate that it exerts an anomalous influence on the conditions of local interstellar space, with dark energy levels growing increasingly concentrated, approaching the wide end of the cone. The vertex at the opposite end expels a stream of concentrated baryonic matter, consisting primarily of molecular hydrogen and cosmic dust. This cloud flows in a constant trajectory away from the vertex. It's been theorized that 8984 draws in dark energy from the surrounding interstellar space, transforming it into baryonic matter via an unknown process. The cone was first observed in a galactic survey by Foundation Space Telescopes on December 10, 2023, and flagged by Foundation AIC as potentially anomalous. Dr. Adrian Tan of the Site-19 Astrophysics Department was assigned as lead researcher for 8984. So it's a big, dense cone of dark matter hundreds of light-years away from Earth that gathers up other dark energy and expels it as baryonic matter. Don't worry if that means absolutely nothing to you, as it does me, as we'll get to an explanation. On March 17, 2024, Dr. Tan submitted a classification request for the object with the object class of Safe, which was approved. The following month, he submitted a research hypothesis on the potential function of 8984, which reads, SCP-8984 is located near to the Rho Ophiuchi cloud complex. The nebula within the cloud complex are regions of interstellar space with denser than average concentrations of baryonic matter, including cosmic dust, gases, and plasma. This concentrated matter can condense into gravitationally bound cores, drawing in additional matter and eventually suffering gravitational collapse to form a protostar. Gravitational collapse can be generated by external events such as nearby supernova explosions, and newly formed stars can themselves produce supernova, triggering a chain reaction of star formation. Typically, the matter in an interstellar cloud complex leads to the simultaneous formation of multiple stars, numbering between dozens and tens of thousands. As a result, nebula in which stars are actively forming are colloquially referred to as star nurseries. The Rho Ophiuchi cloud complex is one of the closest star nurseries to the solar system. It is possible that the Rho Ophiuchi cloud complex may have been generated by the dense baryonic matter expelled from SCP-8984. Over astronomical timescales, SCP-8984 could have been responsible for creating numerous areas of extremely dense matter, causing the creation of many of the stars in the Orion Spur of the Milky Way. If structures similar to SCP-8984 were distributed across space, they could be responsible for the generation of stars and other matter on a cosmic scale. This effect could even explain the extreme density of matter necessary for the Big Bang to occur, giving SCP-8984 a crucial role in the birth of the universe. What remains unclear is the mechanism by which SCP-8984 could transform dark energy into baryonic matter. Essentially, then, this thing could have been responsible for making the nearby nebula, which in turn is responsible for birthing new stars. It's possible that if there's more of these big cones out in space, like a lot more, they could have been responsible for creating the universe. That's certainly something interesting to research. On April 14th, a few days later, Dr. Tan requested a secondment of Dr. Simon Poitevin from the Particle Physics Laboratory to the 8984 research team, which was approved. Dr. Poitevin seems to be something of a scientist himself, and a week later he put out a research hypothesis on 8984 as a particle collider. I won't read this one verbatim, as it's all fairly technical, but he begins by talking about the simplest physical process by which matter can be created from energy, which involves smashing two high-energy gamma photons together via a particle accelerator, resulting in the creation of an electron and positron. These are extremely short-lived, around less than 0.1 nanoseconds, so for this matter to persist, the corresponding antimatter would need to be sequestered or removed. A mechanism for such removal is currently unknown to physics. These sort of matter-creating collisions also require photons to have more energy than the mass energy of the created particles, meaning that the creation of complex atoms or molecules would require particle accelerators orders of magnitude more powerful than even the Foundation has developed. If 8984 is creating complex baryonic matter from dark energy, then it must be an exceptionally powerful form of particle collider. I would say that's some fairly short-sighted reasoning from a Foundation researcher when literal gods and magic exist, but I suppose he's working with what he's got. Under this hypothesis, 8984 would be accelerating dark energy photons to the extraordinary collision speed sufficient to generate baryonic matter atoms and molecules, and simultaneously removing the resulting antimatter to avoid its immediate annihilation. The acceleration of dark energy to the necessary speeds could be the result of correspondingly powerful magnetic fields within 8984, which could follow a series of parallel spiral paths down the exterior conical surface of 8984, towards the vertex, where the matter-producing reactions would occur. However, the source of energy to power such fields and the method by which dark energy is drawn into 8984 remains unknown. Poitevin also ends the paper by stating that he has dubbed this method dark photosynthesis, although there would be no objection to the coining of the Poitevin process. As a spoiler, no one calls it that. As I said, fairly technical, but basically they think it's just a hyper-advanced particle accelerator at this point. On May 15th and 16th, Foundation Space Telescope Third Eye observed the unanticipated gravitational collapse of a number of dark nebula within the Rho Ophiuchi cloud complex, forming a series of new brown dark stars in what appeared to be stochastic, self-propagating star formations across the complex. On May 21st, Foundation General Astronomical Surveys noted several more distant candidate structures, which may be similar in composition to 8984. 2 days later, Dr. Tan requested input from Dr. Elizabeth Wexler from the Site-19 Xenobiology Division on conversion of energy to matter via biological processes. 4 days later, Zeeman Doppler imaging of 8984 suggested the generation of extremely powerful magnetic fields by the anomaly. These fields appeared to form spiral paths towards the vertex of the cone. On June 18th, Dr. Wexler submitted a research hypothesis titled Spirals, SCP-8984, and New Forms of Life. It reads, Dark Photosynthesis, Dr. Poitevin's somewhat facetious suggestion for the potential action of SCP-8984, was the impetus for Dr. Tan's request for my input, and it has provided a fascinating jumping-off point. The spiral shape of the anomaly is certainly suggestive of photosynthetic processes. Stromal thylakoids, arranged in spirals within the chloroplasts of plants, are the conversion site of light into the chemical energy necessary for plant metabolic processes. Could the spirals of SCP-8984 similarly convert dark energy into the magnetic power for its operation? Viewing SCP-8984 through a biological lens may prove instructive in other ways. Spirals, and particularly conical spirals, are found in a range of terrestrial organisms. As well as stromal thylakoids, spirals are also visible in the form of seed heads and other plant organs, known as peristachy. Perhaps SCP-8984 is a gigantic dark matter pine cone waiting to expand and release its seeds across the galaxy. My preferred interpretation, based on the evidence to date, is that SCP-8984's spiral shape may be due to accretive growth. This type of growth arises where layers of mass are deposited on a hard surface over time, slowly gaining height and shape. As a matter of physics, conical spirals are the lowest energy configurations from dynamic growth of this nature. The example of accretive growth most familiar to a lay audience is the seashell. Gastropod and cephalopod shells commonly form in spiral shapes. Conchospiral shapes in particular are found in the gastropod genera Turritella, whose shells have turreted or Babylonic shapes. Terebra, known as auger snails for their resemblance to rock drill bits. Conus, predatory venomous cone snails. And Epitonium, predatory or ectoparasitic sea snails known as Wentel traps. Beyond shells, mammals also exhibit examples of this type of growth, including in bones, teeth, antlers, and horns. While initial evidence is fragmentary at best, my speculation is that SCP-8984 may constitute a previously unknown organism. The anomaly consumes dark energy and excretes matter. Baryonic matter is expelled from the vertex, and dark matter is deposited on the cone, leading to accretive growth. On this basis, the spiral cone of dark matter that we have observed to date is merely the shell of SCP-8984. The nature of the organism inside remains completely hidden. What could be more intriguing than that? Yes, a massive entity deep in space that consumes dark energy and births stars. Certainly intriguing. 5 days later, Dr. Tan submitted his own paper, a research supplement titled A Note on Dark Energy. It reads, Dr. Poitevin has expressed some level of disappointment with the direction of Dr. Wexler's theorizing, and has asked me to include a brief discussion of dark energy to help direct future collaborators. I am happy to oblige. Dark energy is a theoretical form of energy, hypothesized to comprise the majority of mass energy in the universe. Dark energy is typically estimated as forming approximately 70% of the universe's mass energy, with dark matter accounting for approximately 25% and standard baryonic matter no more than 5%. Unlike electromagnetic radiation, dark energy interacts only with gravitational forces, so it is not directly observable. However, its existence would explain several known phenomena relating to the universe's shape and size. In particular, the presence of dark energy would explain the current observed pace of expansion of the universe, as dark energy would be gravitationally self-repulsive, driving this expansion. The precise nature of dark energy is not known to either mainstream science or to the Foundation. The density of dark energy in space must be very low and was considered broadly uniform across space, suggesting that dark energy may be an intrinsic, fundamental energy of space, a cosmological constant. The discovery of high concentrations of dark energy near SCP-8984 is evidence in favor of an alternative theory. If dark energy can have variable density across space and time, it may form a dynamic field rather than a static constant. This theory is referred to as the fifth force, or quintessence model. The quintessence model proposes that dark energy and dark matter interact, a theory supported by the dark matter substance of SCP-8984. Even if quintessence theory is correct, What remains unknown is the behavior of quintessence over time. It is possible that its repulsion effect will drive the expansion of the universe indefinitely, leading to a cold, empty universe tens of billions of years from now. Or dark energy may provide the universe with a renewed structure by decaying over time into new forms of baryonic matter and electromagnetic radiation. SCP-8984's action, converting dark energy into matter, may favor the hypothesis of universal renewal. While I like your funny words, Science Man, I don't think that got us any closer to figuring out what exactly this thing is. On July 12th, the Third Eye Telescope showed an image of 8984 with a previously unobserved shape extending from the wide end of the cone. Radiation signatures suggested the shape may be composed of dark matter, with a zigzag or spiral shape, approximately 300,000 kilometers in length. Matter has ceased to be expelled from the vertex of the cone. A week later, another image revealed that the unidentified dark shape had several large appendages branching from the main body. The following day, Dr. Tan requested that the Third Eye Telescope be redeployed from its other tasks to enable constant monitoring of 8984, which was approved. On July 26th, the cone showed no trace of the radiation signature previously observed. Scans of the surrounding areas of space detected several similar candidate objects, numbered A1 through A23. Candidate objects displayed a zigzag or spiral shape, but were significantly smaller than 8984 and were partially obscured by local nebula. Observation of 8984 detected that clouds of matter resumed expulsion from the vertex of the cone. Based on the changes observed from June 8th to the 22nd, which was dubbed a Wechsler event, the object class was changed to Euclid. Dr. Morgan Robertson from the Classical History Department requested to join the 8984 research team. The request was approved by Dr. Tan, although an objection from Dr. Poitevin was noted. We're then given another research supplement, this time from Dr. Wechsler, titled Fission and Strobilation. She explains that fission in biology refers to a method of reproduction involving the division of a single organism into two parts, with each part growing back into the whole organism. Fission is most common in the case of simple, single-celled organisms, but can occur in more complex forms of life, such as sponges, sea stars, and flatworms. A similar form of reproduction is known as strobilation, found in some corals, jellyfish, and parasitic tapeworms. In this process, the upper end of the animal becomes segmented as it constricts at regular intervals, with the constriction sites extending down the animal's body. The constrictions become increasingly tight until the body splits into multiple segments. Each segment grows into a copy of the original animal, eventually undergoing strobilation itself. The evidence collected from the so-called Wechsler event bears unmistakable similarities to fissile or strobilatory processes, with 8984-A as the anomaly's offspring. While there had been speculation about 8984 undergoing reproduction, to see direct evidence is exceptionally exciting. Extraterrestrial life on the scale of 8984, or with its peculiar composition, has not been detected in decades of Foundation research. 8984 is challenging their notions of what forms of life are possible in the universe. Those who were initially convinced that 8984 was a mere machine may feel disappointed to be proven incorrect, but a living anomaly would offer far more to science as a whole. Its substance and composition, even the matter it produces as waste, may all find uses. The novel chemistry involved will almost certainly find medical or pharmacological applications. She ponders if the Foundation's next wonder drug could be out in the Rho Ophiuchi Cloud Complex, waiting to be analyzed and replicated. Somehow I doubt this article concludes with the Foundation discovering Ozempic out in outer space and everyone ends up happy and thin. From August 12th to the 28th, the research team recorded three more Wechsler events, with them continuing to occur every 4 to 7 days. On August 25th, Dr. Poidevin requested to be reassigned from the 8984 research team, probably because his hypothesis on it being a big particle accelerator seems to be shot down, but he was denied. A couple of days later, Dr. Robertson put out a supplement titled Quintessence Theory in Antiquity. It reads, Site-12's History Division was alerted to SCP-8984 through the Foundation AIC Alexandria, designed to promote the cross-specialism research of safe-class anomalies. The AIC noted the words Ophiuchi, Babylonic, and Quintessence as potentially of interest, and I was most fortunate to have received the alert just before SCP-8984's reclassification, as I believe a historical perspective may prove valuable in contextualizing the team's research to date. Dr. Tan's paper on the quintessence model of dark energy is certainly a great help to the non-scientific reader, but it is deficient in one respect. It omits the etymology of the term. Quintessence was used by 20th century physicists as a deliberate allusion to the work of Aristotle, who proposed the quinta essentia, fifth element, in addition to the four classical elements. Quintessence, also referred to as ether, was described by Aristotle as the substance containing the stars and planets, and thought to be the pure essence breathed by the gods, as air is breathed by humans and animals. The term was adopted by medieval alchemists, who sought to isolate this element and transmute it into other substances, or use it for medicinal purposes. Ancient medicine has another link to SCP-8984 in the form of its galactic location. The Rho Ophiuchi cloud complex is centered on the point 1 degree south of the star Rho Ophiuchi in the constellation of Ophiuchus, the snake bearer. In Roman mythology, the constellation represented the healer, Asclepius, who learned the secret of immortality from healing herbs carried by snakes, and who was slain by a thunderbolt from the god Jupiter. SCP-8984's relationship with several ancient medical myths would be consistent with the anomaly's absorption of ether. Perhaps the transformation of quintessence into baryonic matter, rather than taking the prosaic form of particle physics, is instead alchemical in nature. I would go so far as to suggest that Dr. Wechsler will be proven correct in her supposition that the products of the anomaly may have medicinal use. At the very least, what better purpose for the breath of the gods than to breathe life into the universe through the anomaly's generation of star nurseries, as Dr. Tan has described? In this respect, SCP-8984's twisted, conical shape is suggestive of a horn of plenty, or cornucopia, a symbol of prosperity and abundance in classical antiquity. The cornucopia is typically depicted as a curved or twisted animal horn, capable of magically producing an inexhaustible supply of food and drink, and Dr. Wechsler has already noted animal horns as sharing the spiral growth pattern of SCP-8984. In Greek mythology, the horn of plenty was used by Amalthea, a nymph, sometimes depicted as a goat, nursemaid of Zeus, to feed the baby god after he was saved from being eaten by his father, the Titan Cronus. In the same vein, we have seen SCP-8984 as a potential source of abundance, and might expect further signs of prosperity and plenty out amongst the stars. I have been delighted to collaborate with my colleagues at Site-19, and look forward to further discoveries in their company. I may also entreat some additional perspectives, perhaps for a comparative study with the treatment of SCP-8984 in classical religion. On August 28th, Dr. Robertson requested the secondment of Dr. Hannah McCallu from the Foundation Abrahamic Faith Project, which was approved. On the 31st, Dr. Tan filed a disciplinary report on Dr. Poidevin following an altercation with Dr. Robertson and Dr. Wechsler. On September 6th, Dr. McCallu requested technology assistance with the Site-19 file system, but she withdrew the request the next day after Dr. Tan assisted her. That same day, wider telescopic surveys of the cloud complex identified a statistically high concentration of exoplanets within the habitable zones of stars in the complex. The Xenobiology Institute was notified for future analysis. On September 8th, Dr. Wexler was seriously injured by an equipment malfunction. She was working alone in the Xenobiology Institute's laboratory before office hours, conducting gel electrophoresis experiments to separate the proteins in another SCP. The electrophoresis power pack suffered an electrical short at approximately 7:30 a.m., electrocuting her. Colleagues discovered her unconscious body, and she was taken immediately to the Site-19 medical ward. She was treated for electrocution, third-degree burns, and respiratory dysfunction, and she remains in a coma. That day, Dr. McCallum submitted a research supplement titled The Shape of a Shofar. It reads, "The author would like to record her gratitude to Dr. Robertson for the invitation to work on this project, and particularly to Dr. Tan for his willingness to accept wider perspectives on SCP-8984. Dr. Robertson was especially keen to discuss his theories on SCP-8984 as a horn of plenty, and requested this note to summarize the author's contributions to that discussion. The curved cone is a singularly evocative shape. It draws the viewer on, inviting them to follow its coils with eye or hand. Receding to a point, the contour spiral disappears from view and grasp alike, and we are left to ponder. Little wonder, then, that each member of the research team has seen analogies to the spirals of their own experience. Less wonder still that the author looks at SCP-8984 and sees a shofar. A shofar is a musical horn used in celebrations and rituals of the Jewish faith, typically made of the curled horn of a ram or kudu. It is played in the manner of a bugle, using an embouchure while blowing to vibrate the air column inside the horn. The shofar is traditionally blown on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, celebrating the creation of the universe said to have occurred on that day, as a wake-up call to the faithful, and as a reminder of the need for repentance. In ritual playing, the shofar is blown in patterns of a single long blast, reaffirming God's authority, three connected short bursts symbolizing the sound of groaning with remorse, and a series of short broken blasts representing the uncontrolled sobbing of extreme anguish. Shofars are mentioned several times in biblical texts. In the book of Joshua, seven shofars were carried ahead of the Ark of the Covenant as it circled the city of Jericho. After the seventh circuit, the shofars were blown, and the army of Israel shouted, bringing down Jericho's walls. There are several other biblical accounts of shofars being used to signal armies at the start of battle, or being blown by angels. Of course, trembling air resonates through the coils of a shofar from narrow end to wide, whereas the path through SCP-8984 flows from wide to narrow. Perhaps we should imagine this process as an inhalation, the breath of the gods being gathered in for some purpose as yet unknown. We're definitely starting to stray quite a bit from the technical jargon of science here. On September 10th, Dr. Robertson prepared a research supplement titled SCP-8984 and the Tragedy of Dr. Wexler, but it was deleted before submission. The following day, Dr. Tan and Dr. McCallum notified HR of their intention to commence a personal relationship, and they were allowed to remain on the research team. Dr. Robertson then requested 2 days of medical leave, which was approved, after which the research team noted that no Wexler events had been recorded for the previous 7 days. On September 14th, Dr. Poitevin alleged to have contacted Dr. Robertson during his medical leave. Dr. Robertson requested disciplinary proceedings, but did not provide details of the conversation with Poitevin. The next day, Robertson prepared another supplement titled On the Impossibility of Hiding from the Gods, but this was also deleted before submission. He then requested 2 weeks of stress leave, which was approved. On September 18th, the Third Eye Telescope's measurements suggested that the pace and volume of matter expelled from 8984's vertex has reduced since the first observations. Based on the current rate of deceleration, flow through 8984 is predicted to cease in approximately 5 million years. On September 21st, Poitevin was reported missing. Colleagues advised that he had not attended his post for at least 1 week, and his personal belongings had been removed from his on-site residence. There were burned papers discovered in his waste paper basket, with the remaining text appearing to be a partially completed handwritten research summary titled SCP-8984, Potential Mechanisms for Removal of Antimatter. Site security is investigating possible links to the theft of Class B amnestics from the Site-19 infirmary on September 15. On September 26th, Zeeman Doppler imaging of 8984 no longer detected magnetic fields as part of the anomaly. The next day, Robertson submitted a research supplement titled Antigone, which consisted of the word Antigone repeated 623 times. I won't read that one verbatim. Dr. Tan then requested deletion of it, which was approved, and Robertson was admitted to the Site-19 psychiatric ward. Dr. McCallum then put out a research supplement titled A Messenger, which reads, "Following discussions on the nature of angels, some of it less project-oriented than it perhaps should have been, Dr. Tan has kindly requested that I record some further information on the most famous heavenly musician, the Archangel Gabriel, or Jibril. Gabriel is an angelic figure referred to in the Jewish, Christian, and Islamic faiths as a guardian angel and the archetypal messenger of God. Gabriel is one of the few angels named in both New and Old Testaments, and is also said to have revealed the Quran to Muhammad. In Jewish mythology, Gabriel plays a crucial part in bestowing life on developing embryos. When the tree of life in the Garden of Eden blossoms, new souls are produced and fall into the Guf, the treasury of souls. Gabriel then reaches into the Guf, pulling out a soul which flows into the embryo, giving it life. SCP-8984, acting as the treasury of souls, with quintessence pouring into it to form new life, accords with some of Dr. Tan's theories about its purpose. The Jewish image of Gabriel as the messenger of life may be the source of the stories in the Gospel of Luke, where the angel first appears to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and then to Mary, the mother of Jesus, in each case to announce an impending birth. Islamic tradition also sees Gabriel as a messenger of new life, adding to his tidings the announcement to Abraham of the birth of Isaac. Gabriel meets several times with Muhammad, delivering the word of Allah, and assisting Muhammad in battle. Another story has Gabriel deliver the wrath of Allah against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, annihilating them with the tip of his wing. In the Old Testament book of Daniel, Gabriel appears several times to explain Daniel's visions, including his final vision of the time of the end, when the dead will be raised. Through medieval history, this story appears to have become conflated with other biblical references to a trumpet blast that would signal the end of time, developing into the modern notion of Gabriel's trumpet to announce the apocalypse. On October 1st, Third Eye recorded a rotational shift in position by 8984, with the vertex of the cone rotated 90 degrees away from the observational position, leading Third Eye facing 8984's wide end. The next day, it detected a series of high-energy radiation waves from the vicinity of 8984, with recordings displaying an entirely white screen. Dr. Tan decided to then divert Third Eye from looking at it, instead pointing it at Arendelle, the most distant star ever observed. He also requested deletion of the 8984 database entry, but this was denied by Ryza, although he did delete local files from the research folder dated October 2nd. He also requested provision of Class B amnestics, but this request was also denied, with insufficient grounds provided. On October 3rd, Dr. McCallum and Dr. Tan were found deceased in the 8984 research lab. McCallum had suffered several deep incisions to the throat, likely made with a sharp blade, and Tan displayed multiple incisions at the wrists and forearms. A knife was found with Dr. Tan, and there was no evidence of anomalous activity. An investigation proceeded on the basis of presumed murder-suicide. We're then given those files that Tan deleted, which were auto-recovered by an AIC. The first is an automated transcript of a voice note by Tan. He starts by rapidly breathing and swearing, stating that he doesn't know if Third Eye picked up the visuals, but he saw it. Hannah and him both saw it. She's in the quiet room now, preparing her own note. He swears at himself to start at the beginning and to remember the protocols, and says that he and Dr. McCallum were working late. She's on holiday tomorrow for Rosh Hashanah. He was finishing a supplement based on one of Hannah's suggestions, and she was assembling some sources. They were mostly just talking and watching the images from the Third Eye telescope until Hannah called his name. She sounded worried. He ran over from his workstation to the Third Eye viewing screen, and the first thing he saw was the reason she had cried out for him. He has stared so much at 8984 on that screen. For months, it was a black funnel, superimposed on a field of shimmering gas and dust around it. The past few days, viewed almost end-on, it's like an empty disk or a deep hole. Now, space dust and gases were still flowing from the far end of the cone, but from this angle, he saw it immediately. The way the dust had spread out in two distinct clouds, sweeping upwards in symmetrical curves behind 8984, wider and then narrowing to points, almost touching, like upturned wings. In every image of 8984, there is the black void of the anomaly itself, the corona of dust, but everything is surrounded by the cloud complex, thousands of stars, and more of them in deeper space beyond. One of the stars was too bright, and he thinks it was Delta Ophiuchi. He watched it, and he swears this was real, as its light twisted, and the star opened like the iris of a camera. It was an eye. Iris, pupil, sclera. It looked human, and it blinked. Hannah screamed. And then another star blossomed open, and another, and 20 more, 100. In seconds where there had been stars, 1,000 eyes clustered around the black emptiness of 8984, wreathed with wings of cloud. They were alive. They moved. They were looking back at them. He turned the screen off, and Hannah was hyperventilating. They sat there for an unknown length of time before she pulled it together first and reminded him about the protocol. He states that this can't be real, as 8984 is anomalous, but it's a predictable, manageable structure. He begins to say that they've been predicting it since they first started studying it, but then wonders if they haven't been predicting it. What if they've been directing it, like some sort of observer effect? Their measuring it, theorizing about it, has influenced it. When Poitevin thought it was a particle accelerator, it behaved like a particle accelerator. When Wechsler wrote that it might be alive, it became alive. Everything they think about it, everything they write. He then panics and swears and begins typing for 94 seconds. He then says that Irindell's not there. It's gone. Fleeing from them. They did this. He did this. It knows everything. It knows what they think. It's moving the stars and how they can escape, like it's a judgment, like the day of Rosh Hashanah. He swears more and says that there's no time. He begins to panic, but pulls himself together to say that they have to delete all the files, but especially the ones from tonight. No one can know why. If anyone learns about it to form a theory, this just keeps happening. But the Wexler events did stop. She had said that 8984 might be capable of reproduction, and the Wexler events started happening, but they stopped again after she ended up in a coma. He sits in the silence for 35 seconds before saying that they're the only ones left. Nobody else remembers. Maybe after them, they'll stop thinking about it. Maybe they'll dream a more beautiful dream for it. He really hopes that there's another way. We're then given an unpublished research note from Dr. Tan, titled SCP-8984, A Thought Experiment. It reads, Dr. McAlew's research submissions, coupled with changes in the anomaly, have stimulated a thought experiment best suited for the author's specialism. What would result if SCP-8984 was to operate in reverse? At present, SCP-8984 absorbs dark energy, producing baryonic matter. The amounts of dark energy consumed or transformed must be immense to generate the volume of matter observed to date, because again, E equals mc squared. The inverse, an intake of baryonic matter with the expulsion of dark energy, would produce a correspondingly large amount of dark energy through deconstruction of matter. In a single location, the generation of that amount of dark energy would have a pronounced effect on local spacetime. If similar objects to SCP-8984 exist across the universe, the result could be substantially more significant. As previously noted, dark energy is posited as the force driving the expansion of the universe. A universe-wide injection of vast amounts of dark energy could accelerate that process dramatically. This is a scenario which astrophysics has considered, and which is colloquially known as the Big Rip. With the pace of expansion escalating, the distances between objects would increase more and more rapidly. At some point in this acceleration, the relative speeds of any two objects expanding away from each other would exceed the absolute speed of light traveling between them, meaning that each object would become unable to be observed by the other. In fact, those objects could no longer interact in any manner, as causal interactions between them, via mass or energy, cannot occur faster than the speed of light. As expansion accelerated, the distance over which observation and interaction of objects could occur would grow shorter and shorter. Initially, distant galaxies would disappear from view. Then galaxies themselves would begin to separate, as gravitational interactions could no longer bridge the distances between stars. This effect would eventually reach the scale of planetary systems, which would become gravitationally unbound from their suns, before the structures of planets themselves would lose cohesion and disperse as gravity could no longer hold them together. Ultimately, accelerating expansion would reach a molecular, then atomic level, overcoming the weak and strong nuclear forces. Electrons would be sheared away from atoms and nuclei scattered, before space-time itself would be torn apart, as all distance would become functionally infinite and the progression of time would cease. In modern cosmology, a Big Rip scenario is considered relatively implausible, with little evidence for a method of accelerating universal expansion to the extent necessary. Dr. McAlew's unpublished research note just lists some primary sources. First, a fragment from Hadith Jibril, which reads, There appeared before us a man dressed in pure white clothes, his hair extraordinarily black. There were no signs of travel on him. None amongst us recognized him. At last, he sat with Allah's apostle, peace be upon him, and inquired of him about the tenets of Islam, and the holy prophet taught him such. The inquirer again said, Inform me about the hour of the doom. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, remarked, You who is asking knows as much as the one who you ask. Then the inquirer went on his way, but I stayed with the Holy Prophet for a long while. He then said to me, Do you know who this inquirer was? He was Gabriel, the angel. He came to you in order to instruct you in matters of religion. The second is from Paradise Lost by John Milton, which reads, "Betwixt these rocky pillars Gabriel sat, chief of the angelic guards. He ended, and the sun gave signal high. To the bright minister that watched, he blew his trumpet, heard in Oreb since perhaps when God descended, and perhaps once more to sound at general doom." The last, which is a fragment from Unetana Toketh, reads, "A great shofar will be blown, and a small, still voice will be heard. The angels will make haste, and be seized with fear and trembling, and will say, Behold, the day of judgment." Alright, so the Foundation finds a big cone of dark matter out in outer space, and begins observing it and studying it. They first think that it's a form of particle accelerator, and bring on a guy who studies particles. Then they begin to think that it might be alive, so they bring on a biologist. A researcher from the classical history department finds out about the project and how it might have some connections to mythology, and they bring him on board. He in turn brings on a researcher from the Foundation Abrahamic Faith Project, who becomes pretty convinced that not only is this thing connected to religion, it very well might be the thing that signals the apocalypse. As it turns out, they were all right, as the cone was anomalously altering itself based on their thoughts and observations. Inadvertently, they turned a harmless lump of darkness out in space into the bringer of the end times. Dr. Tan and Makalu realized this when they were watching the telescope feed and saw all the stars turn into eyes, watching them, like biblically accurate angels. Tan realizes what they've done, and that they have to delete everything they've researched, especially as he had just been preparing a paper discussing how, if the cone's actions were reversed, it could cause a big rip, which would definitely be game over for humanity and the universe. He also comes to the unfortunate realization that he has to make himself and Dr. Makalu forget about all this as well, since Wexler is in a coma, Robertson is in the psych ward, and Poitevin took some amnestics and disappeared. He apparently decides the best way to do this, immediately, is to take his and Makalu's lives. Doubly unfortunately, the Foundation AI automatically restores the deleted files, making their sacrifice quite meaningless and pretty much guaranteeing the end of life. Not only that, but Wexler could definitely come out of her coma. We're not sure what exactly happened to Poitevin or if he took those amnestics, and Robertson is just sitting in a psych ward. Robertson obviously thought of the cone as a god, as he nearly published a couple of articles hinting that Wexler was smited by it on purpose, and that you can't hide from gods. His last supplement was about Antigone, a character from Greek mythology, as well as a Greek play. Verse 623 of Antigone is often translated as, "Whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad." It's certainly not the first time we've seen an SCP that alters itself based on perceptions or beliefs, and also not the first time we've seen some sort of space deity that needs to be completely unobserved, or it will lead to the downfall of humanity. But this was a fun crossing of the two. With the cat out of the bag, so to speak, it's going to be pretty tough for the Foundation to put it back in and keep this under wraps. On the plus side, based on my very brief Google searches, a big rip would take tens of millions of years to wipe out Earth once it started, so I'm sure the Foundation has plenty of time to inadvertently cause some other apocalypse.